You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You gotta bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Joe Biden is standing with, about to shudder here as I say this. This is going to upset Democrats across this country. He's standing with Republicans and supporting nixing a D.C. crime bill. So Democrats laid into President Biden on Thursday after he announced that he would back federal legislation overriding a Washington, D.C. crime bill that has been called soft on criminals. The district's bill would lower the max sentence for carjacking from 21 years, 40 if armed with a gun, to 18 years, or 24 if armed. The max penalty for armed robbery would be reduced from 45 years to 20 years. So Joe Biden did something right. And naturally, that has upset the base. They do not want to see sanity prevail in any situation. I wanted to mention one other thing here before I move on to a trend I'm noticing and a trend that I would love to hear your thoughts on. But first, Jared, and you hate to see this happen. We always say, like, oh, this is the last refuge of a scoundrel. This is the last refuge. I'm not sure which one's the last one. But one tactic that I notice powerful, outspoken Democrats, and really probably you could say all politicians, seem to be in the habit of these days. It's not the buck stops here. No. The buck stops. I don't know where it stops, but it does not stop at the desk of any of these politicians. Instead, what they like to do is they like to, when in doubt, blame a staffer. And we had talked a little bit yesterday about the squad and how they're having some issues, some ethical concerns are being raised. And one of those concerns is about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Before I get into the ethics issue, you know what I thought of yesterday? I was reading the transcript of Joe Biden while he was chuckling about how the two young men who died of fentanyl poisoning died under the Trump administration and not under his administration. He found that very amusing. And I noticed he was calling the Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Marjorie Taylor Greene. He wasn't using her full title. I was told by AOC that that is an insult, right? That is something to take offense at. So I just noticed that's a little bit of something that doesn't seem to concern people as much as it used to. But AOC was under some scrutiny because of the time she went to the Met Gala. Remember, she went to the Met Gala and she wore that dress that said tax the rich on it while she was surrounded by some of the richest people in the world. And she went to that fancy, I don't know what goes on inside, dinner or, you know, gallery. And it caused quite a stir. Some people thought she was the biggest hypocrite on the face of the planet. And it turns out it's even worse. Because she didn't pay her 2021 Met Gala expenses. It cost a lot to go to those events. You know, I remember, you know, if I get gussied up for some event, and none of them are as fancy as this, you got to get the spray tan, you got to get the makeup, you got to get the hair. I mean, I guess you don't have to, but a lot of people do. It adds up. I can speak to this, Jared, on a personal level as a bit of a glamour girl myself. I have to imagine if you're going to the Met, though, you take it up a notch. You get a team of people. And she did, I think she did a Vogue Get Ready With Me, and there was a team of people there. It takes a village to tax the rich, apparently. So now we find out that she didn't pay for these expenses amid this House probe into improperly accepted gifts. Because there's a lot of rules around accepting gifts when you're a politician. And while speaking to investigators, and you know what I might need here, Jared, we keep talking about the smallest violins. Get it ready. Get that violin ready. She said she was unaware of unpaid expenses related to the dress she wore. And here we go. She says, I just never, ever would have allowed that to happen, knowing what I have learned. But I wasn't, actually, you know, if I'm going to do AOC, it's a little bit more, I got to get the cadence right. But I wasn't privy to the invoices, wasn't privy to the ones that had been sent. And it's just a deeply regrettable situation. I feel terrible for especially the small businesses that were impacted. Don't blame it on the sunshine. Don't blame it on the moonlight. Don't blame it on the good times at the Met Gala. Blame it on the staffer. Okay? Always blame it. You know what we need here? We need to get more staffers in here. So if anything ever goes wrong, we know where to point the finger. Because these staffers are just, she didn't describe, Lori Lightfoot described her staffer as a young, naive woman or something along those lines. I don't know the description of AOC's staffer, but apparently it was all her fault.
So that means she doesn't have to pay now, right? She doesn't have to reconcile the bill if a staffer messed it up, right?
Well, if you've ever not paid something and then had a follow-up on it, have you ever tried this? Just saying.
I haven't. I got to start.
I wasn't privy to this information. That's up there with I don't recall. I wasn't privy to this information. And you know what, Jared? Because you got the smallest violin out, can you keep it out for a second? Because I got a little royal update for you. This says, Prince Andrew insulted. He's being forced to move to Frogmore. Prince Andrew feels like this move. I'm guessing Kinsey Schofield is British. Prince Andrew feels like this move is a downgrade. He is insulted. Tough. I mean, everyone in this family, I don't think they make violins small enough for these people at this point. Harry and Meghan are deeply insulted that they're not being invited to the coronation. And Andrew's insulted that he's being moved to Frogmore out of Nottingham or out of his castle. Okay. You're all insulted. You're all offended. You're all upset all the time. Call somebody who cares, because I consider myself, Jared, I'm all ears for people's problems most of the time, but they're really starting to push the limits, even with me, to the point where it's like, these are not real problems. You got downgraded from one estate to another castle or cottage or whatever they're called. Prince Andrew, with all he's been through, he should be thanking his lucky stars that that's his biggest issue right now.
That he's not in a room at the top of the tower with a padlock on it?
Yes, exactly. That's putting it mildly, okay? I would just take the downgrade and shut up if I were you. Okay, now, the real thing I want to talk about, and I'm very excited to broach this subject with all of you, is something I've been noticing. So it started today. Well, it really didn't start today, but the reason I thought of this as a show idea is because there's this congressman, Jamal Bowman, and he filmed himself packaging up books to send to Ron DeSantis. Now, this all goes under the narrative of Ron DeSantis is banning books in Florida, which has been debunked. I do not believe that's happening. I think he gives schools the right if they don't want a book, maybe. But even that, I'm not sure. I know Randy Weingarten had tweeted out a list of books that were banned in Florida, and then she later had to come back and delete the tweet, because it was roundly criticized as very fake news. So we've got this congressman from New York, and he is making a video, and he thinks he's doing something. That's always the scariest part of these to me. It's not that people are making fools of themselves. It's that in the process of making fools of themselves, they really think that they're hitting a home run, that this is something that people are going to appreciate. So let's have a little bit of Jamal Bowman, Jared, please.
What's up, Cousin Ron? It's Congressman Jamal Bowman here. Hope all is well with you. I know you're a busy man, so I'm putting together a little camp package for you. You know, so when you get some time, you get a chance to open it up, take a look inside, and continue your anti-racist journey and overall education.
Okay. Now, this is, like I said, it's a BS narrative. It's being gleefully pushed by the mainstream media and by Democrats. And the left clearly thinks this is a winning issue because Jamal Bowman from New York is not the only politician to get in on this. Eric Adams, we talked about this last week, he put out a tweet, "Welcome to NYC." Keep in mind, everybody puts on this weird tough guy act when they're talking to Ron DeSantis. They really want to shove him in a locker or something. He says, "Welcome to NYC, Governor Ron DeSantis, a place where we don't ban books, discriminate against our LGBTQ plus neighbors, use asylum seekers as props." This is me adding this in, except for when he's reticketing people to Canada. But besides that, "or let the government stand between a woman and healthcare. We're happy to teach you something about values while you're here." Now, beyond the fact that all of this is disinformation, like that all of it can be fact checked, and the fact check would be false, I'm also perplexed as to why Jamal Bowman, who is humbly serving New York's 16th congressional district, and Eric Adams, who's the mayor of the Big Apple, and other New York politicians, why they think this is a good idea. I want to read you a little sampling of what's going on, what's actually going on in New York, while Jamal Bowman is having some poor staffer film him talking tough and packaging up a box full of books for the governor of Florida. I want to read you what's actually going on there, okay? Here's from the New York Daily News. This is today. "Violent mob attacks Queens man, stabs him repeatedly. Five attackers bum rush the 19-year-old victim in Glendale." Here's another one. "Hot mess. New York City commuters rage over $11 billion Grand Central rush hour hell rides." I also had a story in this stack that now I'm missing of New York City wanting to set up all of these safe injection sites. So these are the things that are going on in New York City in real life. These are the things that Jamal Bowman and Eric Adams, that their constituents actually are concerned about. And what are they focused on? They're focused on virtue signaling and going viral for these dumb, what do you even call these, Jared? Macho man clapbacks? And what makes it even worse is that DeSantis doesn't partake in it, so they look even more foolish. Let me make a video of me sending a package of books to a governor in Florida. There's nothing else that you have on your list of things to do. This is the best use of your time. And just to add another layer of irony, and this is where I'm opening up the calls, the politicians who are doing this, who are obsessing over Florida and DeSantis and what's going on in another state, they're all losing their constituents to, guess where? Florida and Ron DeSantis. It's like obsessing over an ex and thinking you're coming off looking good, and really you just look deranged and sad and lonely. And Governor Gavin Newsom does it too. These people, these Democrats in New York, in California, like Gavin Newsom, they have so many things. I was just watching Fox News and it says Coronado Beach, just full of homeless people. One of the most beautiful places to go visit. And it's just full of homeless people. If you were governor of the day of California, Jared, and you sat down, you could probably come up with 50 things to work on in that one day. And all these politicians care about is, I'm going to talk about Ron DeSantis. Okay, well, it's a bold strategy. Let's see how it works out. You're not getting those people back. The people who have moved to Florida, who have moved to Florida in a mass exodus from California, from New York, from all of these states. Do you think this is going to woo them back by telling them how bad Florida is? They clearly don't think so because they moved there. They left you and they moved there. 844-500-4242. I'll read to you about Gavin Newsom when we come back, because this, again, is just the headline from Breitbart is, "Gavin Newsom too busy trolling Ron DeSantis to deal with California blizzard." As my mom used to say, why don't you worry about you? Okay, you mind your own business. Worry about you. Don't worry about everybody else. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. What do you make of all this? This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
You are trying to erase my history. You are trying to erase my culture and my heritage. And as a black man, if I don't have knowledge of myself and knowledge of my history, how can I properly contribute to society? You take away my history, you take away my self-determination, and you leave me vulnerable to be oppressed and colonized by people who have done the same thing to my ancestors.
Is this Jamal Bowman again? This is the same video where he's packaging up the books?
This is actually while he's on his way to the post office.
So the camera followed him.
Oh, yeah. He takes a walk to what I'm assuming is the post office in whatever building he's in.
All right. Well, we'll get back to this in a second.
And his mom worked for the post office, like John Kasich style. I don't know if the Kasich's dad and his mom knew each other, but.
My grandfather worked for the post office.
There you go.
It's a fun fact about me. Not James Michael Curley, by the way. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Enjoy spring on the Cape with April rates at $149.99 a night on weekdays and $179.99 a night on weekends. Or schedule now to have your summer trip set with breakfast included Memorial Day through September 20th. Book online now at nausetbeachinn.com. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is which was Biden's most callous moment? Chuckling while discussing fentanyl deaths, saying Afghanistan was 4 or 5 days ago, checking his watch at an Afghanistan casualty ceremony, or saying, I did a whole video for East Palestine.
I'm going to say chuckling at fentanyl deaths.
Still in the lead at 50% is chuckling while discussing fentanyl deaths, 39% for checking his watch, 6% each for saying Afghanistan was 4 or 5 days ago and making a video for East Palestine.
Okay, let's go to the callers here. Peggy, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. Excellent show yet again. I just wanted to say two things real quick. About 5 years ago, a woman that I work with and I, we are around the same age, have kids the same age, late teens, early 20s, and we were talking about retiring to Florida, and she had said to me that, oh, no, I wouldn't like it. I just wouldn't like it. And then she said to me, would you ever think about going to Florida? And I said, if I thought I could get away with it, I'd be on the plane in about 30 minutes. But my point, that's not my point, but my point is, it's not even for the Democrats who are always bad-mouthing DeSantis and to some extent Texas and to some extent maybe Nevada, like other states that are you know, fiscally conservative. It's not a subjective notion. It's facts. It's mathematics. It's not anything. They just can't. They, for some reason, like you said, they can't admit they're wrong. They can never say they're sorry. That's a very bad habit. But these facts and figures of people moving, lower taxes, cheaper real estate, more opportunities, they're facts.
Yes, and you know what, Peggy? I'm going to quote a very wise man who I can just tell by your voice and you're not a fan of. The proof is in the pudding, is in the eating. And that would be true about Florida. We're going to continue this conversation and keep taking your calls, just like Peggy's. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
So, going to send you a few books. I'm a former educator and I love to read books. So we're going to start with this book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. Okay. Now, again, I know it's triggering. It's a book. It's talking about race and racism, but it's something you should definitely take a look at. Share it with your cabinet because it will help you to be more enlightened and more engaged in the education process. So that's book number one. Book number two, White Fragility. Now, I know already you're triggered. You're probably falling out of your seat. You're probably screaming and yelling.
Hold on. This is Jamal Bowman, who represents New York's 16th Congressional District, making a video. He's telling the governor of Florida not to get triggered as he's putting together a package of books, filming himself, and then tweeting this out to go viral. Because out of the two men here, out of DeSantis and Jamal Bowman, I would definitely say the person who seems triggered is the one who's making this strange and sad video. I don't think it's Ron DeSantis. But that's just my two cents. I do want to add this in before we go back to the calls. So I read the headline earlier. It's from Breitbart. Blue State Blues. Gavin Newsom too busy trolling DeSantis to deal with California blizzard. So Newsom likes to troll DeSantis. But at least DeSantis declares a state of emergency before a major storm, not more than a week later. That's what Newsom did on Wednesday when he declared a state of emergency for 13 California counties, many of which had already suffered snowfalls that closed roads, trapped residents in their homes, and left thousands with little food or fuel. So while he didn't have time to declare the state of emergency and to worry about his own state, which has more problems than he has hair gel, this is what he did have time to do. On March, I believe it was March 2nd, he put out a tweet, "While other states ban books, California is making historic investments to improve literacy." I want to give all of these failing bureaucrats a piece of advice. Worry about your state. All of this like shading or trolling or passive aggressive kind of mean girl cattiness going back. It's really not going back and forth, Jared. It's going one way. But here's the real crux of the issue. If people don't like Florida, if Florida is so evil, if it's hell on earth, Disney World in hell, as Joy Reid says, if it's racist, if it's homophobic, if you can't say gay, if you can't read books, guess what people are going to do? They're going to leave. And you know how I know Bowman and Eric Adams and Gavin Newsom are aware of that fact? Because they know full well when people don't like a place, they leave, don't they? They pack up their stuff and they move. If a place is truly terrible enough, people will move their whole lives. And if they can find a U-Haul, sometimes it's hard to find a U-Haul when you're trying to leave California because they're in such high demand. But if they can find a U-Haul, they will, and they'll get out of there. So I wouldn't spend so much time focusing on Ron DeSantis because the people in Florida seem to like him. And in fact, people who criticize him, people like Don Lemon and AOC and Eric Swalwell, California, New York, CNN, you know where they all go on vacation? They all go to Florida. So it's the worst place on earth. You can't read any books there, but if you need a tan, if you're itching for the beach, it's the place to go. Margaret, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Margaret.
Hi. I just want to say a good word and congratulate you on your upcoming being a little mama.
Thank you very much.
When is that going to be? Do you know?
June 8th. Hell? June 8th is the due date.
Oh, great. We'll have you for a few more months.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you timed it right, having the summer off.
What's going on, Margaret?
Well, you know, you've had so many subjects. At my age, my head is spinning about, I think all these states are just jealous of Ron DeSantis when he doesn't want to, like he says, the woke come there to, how does he put it? The woke come there to croak or something.
Yeah, no, they're definitely jealous. They're jealous that people are moving there. They're jealous that businesses thrive there. They're jealous that he seems to play hardball with these woke corporations. And based off what happened in Disney, he seems to win. And that drives them nuts. And it's not just politicians. I saw yesterday Keith Olbermann, who I really try to limit my Keith Olbermann interaction or, you know, just seeing his things. But every once in a while, one of his tweets will come across my desk, and they're always so bizarre. And sorry, I'm trying to find it now, but he tweets so often that it's hard to even find. But he started talking about how Disney should move Disney World to Puerto Rico and then invite Ron DeSantis to watch it burn, or when they set the one on Florida on fire. I mean, DeSantis derangement syndrome is a real thing. It's really happening. It's giving Trump derangement syndrome a run for its money. I want to shift gears here. Thank you for the call, Margaret, because this story just came across my desk, but I would be bummed out if I didn't get to play it for you first, okay? So we talk about how a lot of people in Biden's administration, they're highly educated. You know, they come from these circles of academia. They get put into these jobs, these high cabinet positions, and they have no idea what they're doing. Now, of course, the kind of prototype for that is Pete Buttigieg.
Hey, it's Pete. I'm here at the office.
He's the Secretary of Transportation. And that's kind of a job where if you're doing everything right, nobody really knows who you are. You stay under the radar, so to speak. But when everything's going wrong, then you start going, who's the guy who's in charge of, who's that guy? It's Pete Buttigieg. Like, you start focusing on it more when there's all these near misses and the FAA has all these glitches and the planes are grounded and the supply chain crisis is happening and you can't get baby formula or children's Tylenol and all of these things are happening. Then you see a train derailment. You see multiple. That's when you start going, who's in charge? But the problem with the Biden administration is they're putting people in these positions who have no qualifications, who have no business doing these jobs. And I'm not even saying that you need like the top dog. I'm just saying a general idea of what they're getting into. I would argue, now what I'm about to play for you is the FAA nominee. Keep in mind, as I mentioned, the FAA has had a lot of issues as of late, okay? So this isn't, maybe on an off year, you could just slip someone in, nobody would be the wiser. But people are kind of focused on the FAA right now. We just had a near miss at Logan a few weeks ago. For the first time since 9/11, all flights were grounded because of a glitch that they told us there was no foul play involved. It was just a glitch. You had the Southwest meltdown over Christmas. There's been plenty of headlines regarding the FAA. So you would think that the Biden administration would nominate someone who they were very confident in, who they thought really could handle this. So now we go to Phil Washington. Now, his nomination is still pending. And he was being asked at his hearing about some very basic aviation questions by Senator Ted Budd. Let's take a listen.
So Mr. Washington, can you quickly tell me what airspace requires an ADS-B transponder?
Not sure I can answer that question right now.
That's okay. We'll just keep going. So that's a pretty important part. Mm-hmm. So what are the six types of special use airspace that protect this national security that appear on FAA charts?
Sorry, Senator, I cannot answer that question.
Okay. So what are the operational limitations of a pilot flying under basic med?
Senator, I'm not a pilot, so...
But obviously you'd ever see the Federal Aviation Administration, so any idea what those restrictions are under basic med, quickly?
Well, some of the restrictions, I think, would be high blood pressure. Some of them would be...
It's more like how many passengers per airplane, how many pounds in different categories, and what altitude you can fly under, so... And then... amount of knots. It's under 250 knots. So it's not have anything to do with blood pressure. So can you tell me what causes an aircraft to spin or to stall?
Again, Senator, I'm not a pilot.
Okay.
So what is that? 0 for 7? Is that what we clocked in at?
I think that was 4. There's a second count with more of them, but yeah, he went over 7 total.
And you know, he's not a pilot. And I guess to be the head of the FAA, you don't have to be a pilot. I'm sure there's been plenty of people who aren't pilots who were the head of the FAA in the past. But shouldn't you have like a basic understanding of aviation or what goes on?
That guy wants to make sure your plane doesn't fall out of the sky.
Comforting.
Or hit another plane.
Comforting,
right? That's the guy that wants that job.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel good. I feel good about it.
That would be like when the Grace Curley show is starting. They come to, you know, oh, Jared, you know, how long is a commercial break? I can't answer that. Do you know what a commercial break is? No. No, I'm not a talk show host.
Yeah, it's like, well, give it your best guess. Those hearings always give me so much anxiety, though, because it reminds me of being in school when you didn't do the homework or something. But now that I look back, now after seeing people do these and fail so miserably, I got to give young Grace Curley some credit because she could spin some yarn. She could weave a tangled web when she wanted to. I think I was better at giving people the runaround than any of these nominees. You got to be able to at least pretend a little bit. You can't just keep saying, I can't answer that. I'm not a pilot. I can't answer that. I'm not a pilot. Well, you know, let's pretend you are. Just go ahead. Give it. Hit me with your best shot.
And maybe read a little bit before you go in for the hearing.
No. That's crazy. That's crazy, Jared. Now you're holding people to way too
maybe
high a standard.
Just go to the FAA's website and look at the regulations.
Just read their mission statement, maybe. Right. You might get some hints.
Wait. This is about planes? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
I don't have high expectations for these Biden administration officials, but even with the expectations I have, this is pretty frightening. You know, and what's the worst that's going to happen? You answer a question, you get it wrong, we're still in the same position. Throw in some jargon. You know what I would do? I would do a little bit of, well, the thing is with the planes, you know, you got the two wings, you got the main part of the plane, and then you got the chairs, and you got hopefully you got a good pilot in there, you got people, and then you've got the drink carts, you know, that's what I would do. I would do a lot of that, Jared, to Ted Budd. I would go, well, you know, Ted, I would pull KJP. You know how KJP always says to reporters, like, well, you know, as we've talked about, I would do that. I would say, as I've made very clear before, when you're riding on a plane, I don't have to tell you, Senator. I don't have to. You've been on a plane before, USOB. I can tell by looking at you. You've been on a plane. You know what? Let's all cut this short. Let's get out of here.
All right, go with the Kamala. Planes are in the sky.
Start from the very beginning.
And they have wings so they can fly.
And then you laugh
just
a little
go
bit.
From there, yeah.
You laugh a little
40
bit.
40 seconds of cackling.
That
get you
kills
a nomination.
Time. That kills a lot of time, Jared.
It's like its own filibuster.
I'm telling you, I think you got to go with the schmoozing. You got to try to win people over with your charm in those scenarios. I do want to play, though, Jared. Here's someone who sums it up pretty good. This is Representative John Kennedy from Louisiana. This is Cut 23.
The truth is, I do not hate
I'm sorry,
hate
Senator Kennedy.
Anyone.
I don't know why I said that.
I do not hate anyone. I look for grace wherever I can find it. So I say this gently. The Biden administration sucks.
Now, that's something. You don't need a lot of fluff with that answer. That is pretty straightforward. Senator Kennedy, he's known for this. Like, he's known for these one-liners. He also dropped this one, Cut 24.
President Biden has been spectacularly awful. If you put President Biden in charge of the Sahara Desert, he would run out of sand.
I would love to see when he's coming up with these. They're pretty good. Those are pretty good. Inflation's at a 40-year high. That's why you need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. You don't get one, you don't get two, you get three. And you might be thinking, well, Grace, I need one for my kitchen. I'd like to try one out in my bedroom. But what about the third one? You can give the third one as a gift. This is a great way to give a gift to someone who's probably thought about it before. They've just never gone and actually looked it up online. You go to EdenPureDeals.com, you put in code GRACE, and you can get yourself a 3-pack. So, Jared, tell people what they can expect with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier.
Well, I'm not a pilot, so I can't tell you about the Thunderstorm Air Purification in terms of knots per square chromile.
We trust
However,
you anyway. We trust you
I
anyway.
I can tell you what the Eden Pure Thunderstorm does is it actually purifies the air. That's why it's called an air purifier. It doesn't make things smell flowery. It doesn't just cover up smells. It actually ionizes the air. That creates a super oxygen, and that is what eliminates any odors, the same way it can do with any allergens or pollutants that are in the air, even some viruses, just nasty stuff you don't want in your airspace.
Yes, we've had thousands of satisfied customers buy the three-pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. They ask us all the time. Doesn't take up any floor space. There are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code GRACE at checkout to get free shipping and get the three-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE. We will be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I'm going to go down the line here, and I'm asking you, please, for one or two words only. All right? Please.
Really?
President Obama in his first year wanted to address both health care and climate. And he could only get one signature issue accomplished. It was, obviously, health care. He didn't get to do climate change. You may only get one shot, and your first issue that you're going to push, you get one shot. That it may be the only thing you get passed. What is that first issue? And Ms. Williamson,
my
with the last
word. My first call is to Prime Minister of New Zealand, who said that her goal is to make New Zealand the place where it's the best place in the world for a child to grow up. And I will tell her, girlfriend, you are so on, because the United States of America is going to be the best place in the world for a child to grow up.
Thank you, Marianne Williamson. That was a flashback from 2020. Caroline Leavitt joins me now. I stand by what I said. As far as Democrats go, she's my pick.
She is your pick because she sounds like a Republican. She's proud of the United States of America. You don't hear Democrats saying that these days.
And it's also, it's the accent. I don't know what it is. It's like transatlantic. It sounds like a 1940s movie star. I love it. But Caroline, I want to get to something
else. From a dimension whose name we can't pronounce.
From the light beam dimension. Caroline, RFK Jr. was in New Hampshire today.
With
some pretty big news. Give us a little update on this.
Yeah, so he was the news maker of the day in New Hampshire. And look, it's political season in New Hampshire already. Nobody comes up here unless you are running for president. Why would you waste your time dealing with the first in the nation primary state? I mean, hey, if you want to come up and ski, it's ski season. We're getting more fresh pow tomorrow. I don't blame you. But if you're a political contender and you're coming to New Hampshire right now, you're mulling a bid for president. And he was asked that today. He went to my alma mater, St. Anselm College, at the New Hampshire Institute of Politics, where all of the candidates go. It was a packed house, by the way. The room was full, standing room only. The press were, of course, there. Republicans and Democrats came out. And he was asked by one of our political reporters up in New Hampshire, are you planning to run for president? And his response was, I can tell you that I've passed the most pivotal step, which is getting approval from my wife. So that's a yes in my book.
I would agree that that's the most pivotal step, too.
I would also agree with that.
Now, Caroline, the problem that a lot of people have now when they look at this race is, yeah, Joe Biden's probably going to be the nominee. He's running. Most of us can pretty much guess that. And you got people like Marianne Williamson, RFK Jr., not real contenders. I don't want to hate on them, but is anyone with a little bit more of a traditional qualification going to step forward and challenge the president?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because the Democrats walk in unison. They have this monolithic group think that has taken a stranglehold on their party. But interestingly, yesterday there was a New Hampshire Journal political poll that said only 30% of Granite Staters want to Democrats, by the way, registered Democrats in New Hampshire want to see Joe Biden run again. So a contender would be wise to step up, but who has the courage to do it? That's the magic question.
I agree. I think this is the time. I encourage it. And if not, I'll take Marianne Williamson. All right. Caroline Leavitt filling in for Hallie Carr. She's got a great show. Do not go anywhere.